into the book of Haggai. I almost said the Gospel of Haggai. There's a sense that every book in the Bible is the Gospel of Genesis, the Gospel of Exodus, because they all point to Christ. So, in Haggai chapter 2, now read just verse 9. It says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Let's pray. Glorious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for thy word and even for the many prophecies that were set forth regarding the Lord Jesus Christ when he came, and so many of them that were fulfilled. And along with all those prophecies is the blessings of the peace that God brings and the grace of salvation. And so we're so thankful for that, O God. And just remind us again this evening of that blessed peace that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he has given peace. And so, God, we ask these things in your blessed and holy name. Amen. So this morning we spoke on the coming glory, or if you wish, the sanctuary of the nations. And I'd like to follow up on the serenity of the nations, or the peace that God gives. As we spoke from Haggai 7 and 9, believing again, and as we said, that this was fulfilled, no doubt, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also we want to add, what was the end of this fulfillment? Not so much, and don't want to take away from the estimate, the glory of Christ and all those things that we said, but also it also brought forth the aspect of peace. The aspect of peace. Again, "In that place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." And so not only the fulfillment of the glory of Christ, but also importantly was the fact of the peace that is spoken of here. Thinking about peace to all the nations, having that aspect, for lack of a better term, the essence of a universal peace. What a blessing and joy that Christ would bring peace to all nations, to every kindred, people, tongue, and nation, to the four corners of the world. That Christ would bring the aspect of peace. And so the end result of this greater glory that would fill the house of God is that he would bring and give peace to sinners. And this is what we want to concentrate this evening. That is the aspect of that peace given to us by God through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. When again he says, "I will give peace, saith the Lord." Of course, the essence of peace also comes from a blessed doctrine that we love and enjoy, and that is justification. And Romans 5:1 makes it very clearly in establishing this point, being justified freely by his grace. I like that. Being justified freely by his grace. Amen. But it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are justified freely in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what a blessed application to our heart to know to have peace with God. To know that as we wake up in the morning, God is not against us. God's condemnation or wrath doesn't hang over us. We've been brought to the place of peace. Having peace with God. It's one thing to have peace with our neighbor, peace with an enemy. Oh, but what a different thing to have peace with God. And so when God justifies us, all of our sins are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're put away by the sacrifice of Christ. And God declares us righteous. Therefore, the end result of that is that we have peace with God. Again, before salvation, before justification, we were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God. We were fugitive, running from God, condemned, declared guilty, violating, breaking daily the law of God. We were alienated. We were estranged from God in our sins. But when God saved our souls, everything changed in our relationship with God. We went from being fugitive to now having fellowship with God. We went from being enemies to now being reconciled to God. We went from being at war with God to now being at peace with God. From being condemned in our sins to being forgiven in our sins. From being guilty before God to now being declared righteous before God. What a blessing to go from all these things and to find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, being reconciled to God by Christ, and therefore having peace with God. All of this because Jesus Christ accomplished what he did upon the cross for sinners. And therefore, you cannot escape speaking on the subject of justification when you're speaking on the subject of peace. Again, in regards to justification, when I speak of justification, I also like to define the other precious doctrine, and that is regeneration, in order to understand justification. Regeneration, again, means to be born again. It has to do with the change of a believer's heart and nature. Yet the aspect of the change of the believer's state before God, whereas justification has to do with a believer's standing before God. Before justification, before the aspect of justification, and I've shared this before, it consists of two basic elements. In dealing with justification, it deals with two specific elements. Number one, it has to be with being acquitted. Secondly, it has to do with being accepted by God. In other words, it has to do with forgiveness, being acquitted. And then it has to do with imputed righteousness, being accepted before God. These two things, being acquitted and accepted, are seen in justification. And I believe we find the aspect of this in Ephesians 1, when Paul would write and say, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." In other words, in whom we have redemption through his blood, means that we have been acquitted. And now, it also says that we've been accepted in the Beloved. There's the acceptance before God because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. Therefore, justification then is that judicial act of God whereby those who repent of their sins and put their faith in Christ alone are declared righteous in the eyes of God and are totally free from guilt and condemnation. Those who have been justified have been acquitted and accepted by God. In justification, we are set forth as being righteous, or if you wish, being declared righteous in a legal sense, so that we can be put in a right relationship with God. And therefore, justification deals with the aspect of a relationship, that is, having a right standing with God because, again, of what Christ accomplished upon the cross. This, no doubt, I believe, floods the heart and the soul of the saved person with peace. As I said, waking up in the morning, doing what we have to do all day in the morning, go back to sleep at night, put our head on the pillow, knowing through it all, we have peace with God. What a joy. What a joy to live every day knowing that I have peace with God. You see, there's only two types of people in the world. Those outside Christ who are at enmity with God, and therefore they are enemies of God. And then secondly, those who are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the only types of people in the world. Those that are at enmity with God and those that are at peace with God. Paul also reminds us, when you deal with the subject of justification, we're told that there's nothing we can do to be justified. Some people believe we can do good works. Some believe you can keep the law. and be justified. But Paul declares under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Or by the works of the law, no man will be justified. Hence, man is justified without the deeds of the law. No one, not one person, shall ever be counted righteous in God's sight because they seek to obey or keep the law of God. In Romans 3:28, Paul says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For with the law is what? The knowledge of sin. Then in Galatians, when dealing with those that were seeking to be saved by the law, Paul would write to them and tell them in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And therefore, seeking to establish a right relationship with God through the law or by good work is totally insufficient because salvation is by grace through faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The problem, again, with most people is that they seek salvation by some means of morality, or they seek to have peace with God by having a quote-unquote moral life or doing good works. But I said many times from this pulpit, there is no salvation by morality. There's no salvation by good works. What man needs is salvation from sin, which includes salvation from good works, salvation from morality, salvation from self-righteousness. Now, in saying all that, I don't mean that good works and good deeds and morality is wrong in and of itself, but that those things cannot save you. People look at themselves, at their morality or their own character, and they trust their own self, thinking, surely, if anyone gets to heaven, it'll be me. But morality, good works, all it does, it leads to an awful self-righteousness, which deceives many into thinking that somehow they can have peace with God and make it to heaven. And so the Word of God is quite clear that these things are not true and that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Doesn't mean that a Christian should not have good works or that a Christian should not have integrity or character or morality. No, we ought to be doing these things, but these things do not save you. And all I'm saying, don't trust in these things. Trust in Christ. And as we've also said before from this pulpit, there are good people in hell, no doubt, as well as there are bad people in hell. Hell is full of good and bad people. Salvation is by faith, without the aid of any help or works. And this is where, again, many people get tripped. To understand that God will only accept us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ without the works of the law or without any type of works. The law cannot remove sin. On the other side of the coin, I understand that the law can open our eyes to a degree to give us knowledge of sin. If you were to read there in Romans 7, Paul speaks a little bit of this. But the law was not given to remove sin, but the law was given to expose sin, to show what sin is, to intensify sin, so that it becomes exceedingly sinful. But it can never remove sin. Remember, Paul said in Romans 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Romans 7:13, but sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Again, the law makes no provision for imperfect obedience. And therefore, justification cannot take place by the keeping of the law. Therefore, justification is by God's free and sovereign grace. Again, in Romans 3, 24 and 25, here we have the capstone of our salvation, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And so we say again, when you speak on the subject of peace, you cannot escape speaking on the subject of justification. Being justified freely, the scripture says. We're justified in Christ and we're justified freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is solely by grace. When Paul says they're being justified freely, freely denote that God bestows salvation without anything done on our part to deserve it or earn it or merit it. Without cause, undeserved, it's free, it's mercy, it's grace. And so this is the good news of the gospel. Salvation, again, is not in our works, in religion, in any ceremony, in anything like that. No, 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 no. It is in Christ and Christ alone. And therefore, justification is seen in two aspects. And that is, again, acquittal and acceptance. And both of these are done freely for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we said it has to be done how? With forgiveness, which is acquittal. Or we can say that's also a means of expiation, the covering for sin. But it also has to do with imputed righteousness, acceptance before God, propitiation, where His wrath is removed. And we have the imputed righteousness of God, and now we can be accepted by God in Christ. In Psalm 32, David would write and say, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And therefore, again, justification is that judicial act of God, whereby those who repent of their sins and put faith in Christ alone are declared righteous in the eyes of God and totally free from guilt and condemnation. Being free from guilt and condemnation, it brings forth peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing to understand that we have been acquitted and that we have been accepted by God. And so justification has to do with that penal action of God regarding our sin, like a courtroom judge who hits the gavel and he says to that person, not guilty. And those whom God saved, He says, not guilty. They're justified. Colossians 2 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had He quickened together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Bam! Paid in full. And having spoiled principalities and power, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This perhaps then is the meaning of those precious words in the book of Numbers. And I've told it before that my favorite definition of justification is in Numbers 23:21, where it says, He had not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither had He seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shadow of a king is among them. And because of Jesus Christ, now when God looks at Joe Maldonado, God beholds no iniquity or sin in me, nor does He see any perverseness in me. And again, thanks be unto God. I mean, praise His holy name. What a joy, what peace that I have in my heart. What a blessing that I can stand before God without guilt or condemnation, to stand before God justified. Not because of anything Joe Maldonado did. No, 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 my dear ones. See, everything Joe Maldonado does will damn me to hell. It's what Christ did. What Christ did, therefore justification again consists of being acquitted in the forgiveness of sins and the removal of its guilt and condemnation and being accepted by God based solely upon the merits of what Christ accomplished upon the cross, thus freely imputing to us the righteousness of Christ. And no doubt that brings great peace to the heart and souls of all those whom the Lord saves. At the very moment of justification, I believe one of the effects of justification is peace with God. Again, therefore, being justified by faith, we have. Now we could, we're going to try to, we will at some point, we have presently, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you keep reading there in Romans chapter 5, it's interesting what Paul said. In verse 6, he says, Christ died for the ungodly. I always like to ask people, do you see yourself ungodly? Well, not me. I said, well, sorry to inform you, Christ didn't die for you. Because Christ died for the ungodly. It's humbling, isn't it? Verse 8, it says, Christ died for sinners. Do you see yourself a sinner? Well, I'm not that bad. Pastor Joe, you should see my neighbor. I mean, I've done a few bad things, we always say, don't we? A few mistakes, but a sinner? Verse 9, saved from wrath. Do you see yourself under the wrath of God? Oh, not me. Verse 10, Paul speaks about when we were enemies. Do you see yourself an enemy of God? See, people don't see these things. This is what I love about Paul. Paul doesn't mince his words. He's very concise to his point. I mean, before there is peace with God, we need to understand that we were ungodly sinners under his wrath and enemies. And now we have been justified. Therefore, we have peace with God. Paul continues there in Romans verses 9 and 10. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For when we were enemy, we were reconciled by God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so what a joy to know that when God justifies us, there is peace. But not only is there peace, but there's also pardon. 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 The forgiveness of our sins. In Acts 13, it says in verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So Christ took away all our sins. He nailed them to the cross, forgiving us of all our sins. And what a precious thing to experience, to have peace with God, not to be condemned, but having peace with God. In Nehemiah, it tells us that God is ready to pardon. It says in Nehemiah 9:17, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. Isaiah says that God will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Jeremiah says that God will pardon. Jeremiah 50 verse 20, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. And what a glorious experience to have, to stand before God completely pardoned, being totally forgiven of all my sins, the guilt and condemnation removed, and yes, having peace with God. And again, all of that happens at that moment of salvation, when we are justified freely. And so there's peace, there's pardon of God. What a blessing to think that God would cast all our sins into the depths of our sea. Or in Hebrews 8, what it speaks about, all the iniquities I'll remember no more. Or in Psalm 103, he has far removed our transgression from us, as far as the east from the west. Isaiah 44 says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. What a God we serve. Amen. What a God. But not only is there that peace with God, pardon from our sin, but then possession of eternal life. At the same time, possessing eternal life. What a glorious work of salvation. We have peace, we have pardon, and now a glorious possession of eternal life. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Christ would speak often of eternal life and salvation. It's sad that there's so many in our day that believe that while you are alive, you can't really know that you have eternal life. It's so sad. But the Word of God is quite clear. We can know while on earth if we have eternal life. We can have the certainty of eternal life. In 1 John, he tells us, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God, that had the witness in himself, he that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so here we have the glorious experience of peace, pardon of sins, possession of eternal life. What a blessing. It reminds me of a study that I did a few years ago. You remember from Psalm 37? Are you that 37 person? Remember Psalm 37:37. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For the end of that man is what? Peace. Amen. That's the man of God. Of course, regarding the prophecy of Haggai, we said he's been fulfilled. But even the prophecy of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us, after he makes reference regarding of taking the gospel out, he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 14:17 reminds us, for the kingdom of God is not of meat and drink, physical things, the physical structure of the temple. No, not of meat and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope filled you with all joy and peace in believing. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall partition between us. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. And in that glorious text from Peter in 1 Peter 1, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, peace be multiplied. Therefore, what a joy to have peace with God. And no doubt this is a fulfillment of Haggai's prophecy, both in the aspect of glory, but also in the aspect of peace. You see, the same Christ who was the fulfillment of this latter glory is the same Christ that was to bring peace for sinners. It is the fulfillment of Haggai's prophecy. And no doubt, as we have shared in our basic outline, the serenity of the nations, peace to the four corners of this earth. What a blessing. Under that fourth point, again in Haggai verses 6 to 9, all of these fulfill the shaking of the nations. He came. The Savior of the nation, that is the desire of the nation. The sanctuary of the nation, which is the temple. And then the serenity or peace of the nations. All of these fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, where again Haggai so clearly, so succinctly declares and prophesies, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, and in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." And no doubt, all of these things were fulfilled and found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Glorious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again. And we thank you, Lord, for experiencing the blessings of peace, knowing, being justified because of your beloved Son, we now have peace with you. And so, God, we thank you. And thank you that you came, O Lord. That you came as a babe in the manger. You were born to die. You were born to deliver sinners, O God. And for that, we shall ever be thankful. And so now, we can have peace with God. We can have pardon of sins. And we can have possession of eternal life. All because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has wrought for our souls. And therefore, God, we thank you. And what a joy again to be able to lay our head at night upon the pillow, knowing that we have peace with God. And so, God, we ask that you add to the preaching of thy word this evening. For we ask these things in your blessed and holy name. Amen. And amen. Let's stand. Let's sing.